Thanks, guys. That was great. And wasn't it great to hear that banjo? It is a banjo, isn't it? Must hear more of that, Tim. And really good. You know, when you stand up here, your mind just goes blank. I don't know if you've experienced it. Last time I spoke, I missed out a whole section of my message. And I'd prepared photos and autograph, which was pretty radical for me. And I didn't even realise it till I was driving home that I'd left out a whole part. So let's hope today will be a bit better. I've titled my message New Year's Resolutions. Who makes New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Good. So what are some of those resolutions? You like to tell me what they are?
Exercise more.
Exercise more. Good one. Oh, so it's about eating chocolate and buying clothes? Sorry, Michael, what was your one?
To be a better person than God.
Gee, that's a broad one, isn't it? What are some others? Any more?
Allow our mind to be more focused on what Christ desires for our minds.
Good one, Jared, to allow our minds to be more focused on what Christ wants for our lives. That's a really good one. No one else? To not talk so much. Yes, I probably could do that one. Yes, no, there's lots of things, isn't there, that we perhaps have for New Year's resolutions. And we'll come back to some of these in a little while. I just want to read a scripture from Hebrews. And I'm going to do another reading halfway through. This is just a short one. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And yet let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. So that talks about a long distance race, isn't it? It's not a sprint. So this life we're on is basically a long distance or a marathon, isn't it? And before we start, I'll just pray. Father, I just thank you that we have a new year ahead of us, 2012. And Lord, what a year last year has been. The things going on in New Zealand and around the world and in our own personal lives. And Lord, we just come before you now and we just ask that this year will be a year that we really set out to follow you and obey you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us this morning and help me to practice what I preach. It's easy to say things, but Lord, I need to do them too. So Lord, we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. So 2011's behind us and 2012 looms ahead. What a year last year was, wasn't it? It seems funny calling it last year when it was only yesterday, isn't it? But in New Zealand alone, we've had earthquakes, we've had murders, we've had this ongoing awful thing with the Pike mine, we've had elections, we've had a new senior pastor. And it's good too, for those who didn't know, that Lionel and Adrian suffered no liquefaction in this Christmas Eve earthquake. Adrian said only one bottle fell out of the fridge and it didn't even break. So that's a blessing after all the things they've gone through. And in the world, we've had terrible things, haven't we? There's been all this terrible stuff going on in Egypt and Libya and Syria, and it's still ongoing. We've had dictators taken down. Not that it seems to have made much better life for the people there so far. We've had tornadoes. There's all this financial thing going on in Europe and other countries, and floods and earthquakes, the tsunami in Japan. It's been a terrible year, really, hasn't it? And then there was the marriage of William and Kate. I suppose that's a positive thing. I don't know about you, but I've had ups and downs in my life too last year. They're good and bad things. There are lots of things have been going on with my children's lives. Some of them pretty awful. And the hard thing I find is I can't do anything about it. When they're little, you can control your children, but once they grow up and leave home, they're on their own. And I guess this is what being a parent is, isn't it? You bring your children up to be independent, and then you've got to sit back and watch them make a mess and be there for them. Also, I have a niece dying of cancer. She's very near death at the moment, and that's a hard thing. And I've lost three people we have here last year in our congregation, three special seniors. One of them was like a second mother to me, so I really miss these people. I guess on the positive side, my oldest granddaughter turned 21, and I have a grandson in Israel, and he's just been promoted to an officer in the army there. And Brian became a great grandfather last year. And another thing I experienced was snow at Hanmer Springs, deep snow, and that was a first for me, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of hard work too, shoveling, but it was good. And I also experienced good health and strength all year. So the year had its good and bad things, didn't it? So what about you? What does 2012 hold for you? I see in the New Year's honours list, the Queen's honours, lots of people have been honoured. And isn't that great that people in our country have been honoured for doing good, for doing good things in the community and in the country. And some we have known and some we don't know, like Graham Henry. I guess he's a household name. But I heard of a lady called Elizabeth Mills who's taken in little, very young babies and helped them and just transitioned that time before someone can take them. And she's done that for 50 little babies, and they've honoured her for that, which is great. I was reading a magazine. I don't normally buy magazines, but my daughter works at L'Oreal, and they get in all the expensive, glossy magazines, so she lends me some. So I was reading a Next magazine, and on the cover it said, horoscope special, what does 2012 hold for you? So I thought, oh, I might as well read this. I don't normally. So I'll just read you what it says about my horoscope. I'll just pick out a few things because some of the things are a bit not to talk about. It says, the new year brings steady expansion for you with progress on many fronts, including money and work. That's something to look forward to. It says, expect an upswing in your social life. Well, that will be something too, because my social life isn't really something to rave about. It says, in October, I'll have an amazing new experience. With money, it says not to do anything with money in July and August. Don't make any important decisions. Wait for October. October again. And in career, it says, come March, you'll feel passionate and empowered. But until then, you may feel as if you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You'll emerge from this rite of passage a wiser person by the time your birthday comes round. All your hard work will be rewarded in September. So I've got things to look forward to in September, October, haven't I? And it says, be persistent in your professional life. And I really think that that word persistence probably the only thing I would really take any notice of, because persistent is like that passage we read in Hebrews. It's persevering and keeping on and not giving up. And you know, lots of people rely on horoscopes for their direction of life and what they do, but I think we can do better than that, can't we? And personally, I'm not a great one at making New Year's resolutions. I either start off great and then fizzle out, or I get discouraged if I can't achieve what I've set out to do. So all you people that have made these good decisions about listening and not talking and money and clothes and chocolate, and they sound great, don't they? So I wish you well in that. Just keep going and persevere at them. And perhaps some of the resolutions that I often think is that I need to perhaps read my Bible more and to pray more and those sort of things. Just like Jared was saying, I think those are the sort of things he would be doing. And this is more than just wishful thinking. These things don't just happen. You know, it's all very well to want to do these things, but they don't happen. They are disciplines. And we need to put them in our lives as habits. And I read somewhere that it takes 30 days to establish a habit in your life. And I read this about a person flossing their teeth. They reckon if you floss your teeth for 30 days, then this will become a habit and you'll just sort of do it automatically. And it's a bit like that with cleaning our teeth, isn't it? I mean, we don't have to force ourselves to clean our teeth each day. We do it because we know that it's good for our health and our teeth, and it certainly prevents those huge dentist bills. But these are the same sort of things we need to set in place for our spiritual habits, our reading of the Bible and praying, things like that. And I think the way to go about it is we need to set a time in the day that we can do it. It won't happen if you just wait till you feel like doing it. And everyone is different. Some people are morning people. I'm a morning person. I can't think well at night. Some people are great at night. They're just so alert and their minds are clear. Maybe you need to get up earlier. It needs to be a time when you have peace and quiet and not other people around and noise. And I don't think many of us would be setting our alarms for 4 o'clock like Mick does. But, you know, getting up earlier is one option. And remember, early mornings start the night before. You can't sit up all night and then expect to get up early and be bright and fresh. Or maybe it's a time that's best when the little ones are asleep during the day or the kids have gone off to school. The important thing is that it's a time that when we're quiet and the TV's off and we have no distractions. And it's the same, you know, including our praying. Matthew 6:6 says that when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And it needs to include, our prayer needs to include, there's an acronym I learned, ACT, ACT is A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. And the supplication is asking for things. Quite often we tend to think that praying is all about asking for this and asking for that. So supplication is asking things for ourselves and for other people. And a good idea too is to keep a prayer diary or a notebook to write things in and write the answers in. And a diary means, you know, one day perhaps you'll pray for family, one day for the church, one day for the government, one day for missionaries, on and on, world events, whatever you could put on your various days. And, you know, there are two people in this church who pray for me every day, which really blows my mind away. And one of these has prayed for my children, particularly my oldest son, who's 48 now, and prays for him still, and has right from being a little child. So that's, you know, it's really wonderful. And for me, another discipline I work at is scripture memory. And this is a good discipline for me because I'm by nature a negative person, and my husband will confirm that. If anyone comes out with a plan or idea, I can instantly think of all the things that go wrong with it. And I don't even have to think about it, you know, they just jump out. So I've got to retrain my mind, and this is a good way to do it, scripture memory. Because when you're learning scripture, it's going on in your mind constantly because you just have to get it stuck there. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And this is what I need to do in my mind, to put good stuff in there to get the negative stuff out. And I choose a verse each year, sort of rather than perhaps make resolutions, I'll take a verse that will be my verse for the year. And last year I took Psalm 112 verse 1, which says, happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. And contrary to all the commercials and on TV and the ads for Lotto and that, having things and buying things, having the latest phone or iPad or car or whatever the thing is they're advertising, does not make you happy. Having heaps of money does not make you happy. I remember some years ago on Kelvin Fairhall's office door in the Baptist Union, he had this sign. It said something like this. It might be not entirely accurate. It says, money doesn't make you happy, but it sure makes being miserable a bit easier. And that's probably about as good as money will help you as far as happiness. So what are you going to do to make 2012 a good year for you? Unfortunately, we can't change the past. It's done, and what happened last year or further back is gone. But we can change how we deal with it. And we do have to let the past go and move on. There's some here that maybe they would rather be back in the past. You know, there were happier days. Maybe you have lost a loved one, and I know there are people who have and who miss that loved one so much. But life does have to go on. We do have to let it go. Or maybe you're stuck in a hurtful past where people in the past have hurt you, and you just can't move on. You're stuck there. But you need to let it go. Remember those words in Hebrews, perseverance, which means continuing, persisting, keeping going. And it is easy to give up. Many of the things that happen to us, we have no control over. We can't prevent them happening. And that's life. But there are some that we can. Some are our own doing. Sometimes we make a mess of things and we have to live with the consequences. Maybe there's a sin in our life that we need to put right. As that reading said, the sin that clings to us and weighs us down, and that's what sin does. It drags us down, it helps us, stops us from going ahead. Maybe we need to confess that sin. Well, we do need to confess that sin if there's sin in our life. And 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe we need to forgive someone who's hurt us. In Matthew 6 it says if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. So we need to forgive others. It releases us from resentment and being a victim so that we can move on. And forgiveness is an unnatural act. It's bitterness comes naturally. It's easy to get bitter and it's a natural thing, but forgiveness is supernatural. And we need God's help to forgive. Maybe you need to go and see someone and apologize to them, something you've done to hurt them. Ask their forgiveness. But we need to leave all these things at the cross, at the foot of the cross, because Jesus died for our sin. He died for our hurts. And he wants to help us to get through these things, to give them up, to be able to progress. I'm going to read a part of Colossians 3. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in that reading, we're told to put to death that list of things: sexual sin, impurity, passion, evil desires. And death is a finality, isn't it? Death is an end, finish, final. So these are not sins we sort of just put in the cupboard and drag out later. We need to put them to death once and for all. And we're to get rid of those other ones: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive talk, all those sort of things. And we're to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgive one another, and to clothe ourselves with love. And I was recently reminded of this in my family. Recently I've been picking up my little granddaughter on a Friday and having her for the day to let her mum get on with her job that she does. And it's been great. I've been taking her to mainly music, and then we'll have lunch, and I take her home and put her down for a sleep. Then I pick up my grandson and Howick after school. But she's just so good at going down and going to sleep. She never cries, she never gets out of bed or anything, and she sleeps for hours. I usually have to wake her. And when I told her parents this, they couldn't believe it. They said, oh, in the daytime she's dreadful at sleeping at home. She's in and out of bed, she's into her toys, she's everything like that. And I found that hard to believe. So one day I was there and I witnessed this. I couldn't believe it. She was in and out of bed, she was playing with the toys, she'd cry and they'd put her back. And at one point there were these strange noises coming out of her room, and we went in, and there she'd got into her drawers and had put on about four sets of clothes all on top of each other, and she had got to a point where she was literally stuck. Her arms were jammed down in all these sleeves, and she couldn't move, she couldn't get them on, or she couldn't get them off. And I thought, well, gosh, we're a bit like that, aren't we? We have these good intentions, we make New Year's resolutions, or we're going to do this. And Michael says he's going to be good, be a better person. We have these great intentions, but we've got to take off the old clothes first, the dirty clothes. We just, you know, can't just keep putting on the good things on top of the bad. And I mean, you can expect a two-year-old to do this, but we are adults, aren't we? And yet we do the same sort of thing. We've got to deal with the past. We've got to put the past in the past. We've got to put right the things we've done wrong. And then we put on these good things, the compassion, the kindness, the humility, all the good resolutions that we have decided to do. And we do need Christ's help to do this. It doesn't just happen because we want to do this. It's not wishful thinking, and we do need Christ's help. And even Paul in Romans, he said, didn't he, that the good things he wants to do he doesn't do, and the things he doesn't want to do he does. So it's not an easy thing. We need God's help to do this. So we need to take off or put to death and get rid of the things in our lives that are weighing us down, that cling to us, that are stopping us moving forward. And we need to put on the good things, the compassion, the kindness, all those sort of things. And we need to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And I thought I'd close by just reading word for today, today's little bit that it says. I thought it was quite good. It says, someone said that mediocrity is just the best of the worst and the worst of the best. Is that what you want this year? If not, you must be willing to leave the safety of where you are and go where God wants to take you. And Helen Keller says, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. Launching out means setting goals, establishing a plan to reach them, and becoming accountable. It requires staying in sync with God's will, confronting your fears, and discovering the rewards that lie on the other side of them. It demands looking in the mirror and respecting or correcting what you're becoming. It calls for devoting your life to something greater than yourself, even when others don't understand. It's having an I will fear no evil for you are with me attitude and attempting great things for God. So as you enter this new year, stop and recall God's goodness. Check the price tag on his will for your life against what you're already paying and compare the rewards of both. Then launch out and don't look back. So that's a good note, I think, to start the year on. We need to make plans, we need to make habits, we need to set goals, we need to have these good resolutions, but we need to step out and do them with God's help and do what God wants. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you are there, that you are wanting to help us to follow you and to do things better. We pray for this year that we will determine to follow you, to be happy by reverencing or fearing you and delighting in your commandments and in your word. So Lord, help us this year to be people of God, people who really want to stand up and do things for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.